Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
And welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and I am happy to be joining you for another episode of the Book Review Podcast here on this Thursday, July 12th. July 12th happens to be my mama's birthday, so I would like to wish my mom a very happy birthday. I wish I could be with her today. She's in Montana. I am in California, but I will call her and I will chat with her and I will send my love through the airwaves as best as possible. And I'm definitely thinking about her today. As you know, if you're a regular listener to the podcast, she and my dad are definitely the reasons that I am a reader today. They are both readers and both encouraged me to read and read with me and just got me to absolutely, truly love books. So happy birthday, Mom. I am so very blessed to have you as my mom. Very, very lucky in that regard. Anyway, it is Thursday, July 12th, as I said, and I named this episode Lost Books from Childhood, which is sort of accurate and sort of not accurate. They aren't exactly lost, maybe just well, let me just explain. So do you ever have those books that you read as a kid and you didn't, you know, you've got your favorites, of course, that you maybe read multiple times and that really stuck with you. And then there are books that you know you read and little bits and pieces of them stick with you and you remember them all these years later, but you don't necessarily remember the name of them, the author, all of those things. Well, I have a bunch of those and I remember vaguely reading them and, you know, but then the question is, okay, why did this book stick with me so much, right? It wasn't one that was on my favorites list. Probably they were books that I checked out of the library rather than owning, because if I owned them, I more than likely would have read them more than once, or they would have been on my shelf and would have stayed in my memory banks a little better. But probably check them out of the library and just, you know, you think about them periodically over the years and you're like, oh, you know, I wonder what that book is. I vaguely remember reading that as a child. Well, the joy of the internet has so many issues, but one of the joys of the internet is that you can find books that you read as a child that you don't necessarily know the name of. So the first one that I'm going to talk about is a book that I remember reading, I don't know, I'm going to say around 10, 11, 12, that age, and it was a time travel book, and the time travel took place through a root cellar. That's all I remember. That's not a lot, right? And yet it sticks with me. And again, if you're a regular listener to this podcast, you know that I am a big fan of fantasy, of sci-fi, and was as a child, although the more I think about it, the more I realize how much fantasy and sci-fi I read as a child that I'd never really fully assimilated before or, you know, realized before. So the great thing about the internet is that you go to your search engine, and I just typed in children's book root cellar time travel and it popped up. Well, the name of the book is The Root Cellar, which, yeah, okay, so that was the part I remembered. I just didn't remember that was the name of the book. It is by Janet Lunn, and so it's recommended for grades 6 through 8, and I'm trying to see when it was published. Amazon says 1996, but I don't think that's the I think that must be a later edition, because I definitely didn't read it. I would have been out of high school in 1996 and definitely didn't read that. So the book is about 12-year-old a 12-year-old orphan. Her name is Rose, and she is sent to live with unknown relatives on a farm in Canada. So she's unhappy. She's been sent to live with family that she doesn't know. And she ends up, you know, kind of I don't remember if she wanders into the root cellar or if she goes there to hide for some reason, but she goes into the root cellar. And when she comes back out, she comes back out of the same cellar, but she is not in the same time. So she comes back out in the 1860s. And actually, let me back up just a little bit. So I did find the original publication date, which was 1981. So that makes more sense than 1996. Looks like there was a paperback edition that came out in 1996. Rose was orphaned at the age of 3 and then sent to live with her grandmother. So she really never knew her biological parents that well. And then when her grandmother dies, that's when she is sent to live with these rather unknown relatives in Canada. So she goes to live with these unknown relatives at the age of 12. She's had, you know, not the greatest of lives so far, and she's very, very unhappy, which is why she ends up going into the root cellar so she can kind of, you know, just kind of, I think she's just fleeing her unhappiness. But when she comes out, like I said, she emerges into the 1860s, and there she meets Susan and Will. I'm not sure if we ever find out why the root cellar is a TARDIS, it has the ability to send you back in time. It's kind of like the wardrobe in Narnia, right? Who knows why it can do what it can do, but so she meets Susan and Will, and Susan actually is a servant who works for Will's family, but she and Will are very close, and Rose ends up going back and forth from her own time in the 80s to then the 1860s in the past. But she discovers that time doesn't move the same. So it may be, you know, 6 months in her time or a week in her time. But then when she gets back, Will and Susan have aged more rapidly than she has. So she's not, they're not, time is not moving at the same rate in this book. Eventually she goes back and learns that Will has gone off to join the Union Army. At this point, Susan begs Rose to help her find Will, and eventually Rose agrees. So now it becomes not only a time travel story, but also a historical fiction novel in turn that dealing with the Civil War. Although interesting that, you know, they start out in Ontario. So Susan and Rose travel from Ontario to Washington, D.C. to try and find Will. And then, of course, the book takes a slightly different turn because they are on a bit of a mission, a bit of an adventure. You know, they are traveling to try and find their friend. They are traveling in uncertain times because there is a war going on. So I haven't gone back and reread any of the books that I'm talking about today. I may put them on my list, my to-be-read list, and see if I can find them at the library. Just to see what I think now that I am an adult. But I can definitely see, as I am looking at the plot of this book, why 10, 11, 12-year-old me liked it. It, you know, it's got great friendships, especially for a lonely and unhappy young girl who would have been about my age. She is unhappy, and she ends up finding friends in an unexpected way. I always enjoyed books like that. Of course, there's the time travel element, and then there is the historical fiction element, and I was a big fan of historical fiction as a kid also. So got great friendships. It's got the element of, you know, a lonely kind of out of place girl finding friends, maybe in ways she didn't expect. I was always drawn to stories like that. Maybe I felt like I was also a misfit, although I did have friends, but I always felt like I was sort of odd. And maybe I was. Hey, there's nothing wrong with being odd. But then the historical fiction element where they're traveling to find Will, and you really get to see the Civil War, not only from the perspective of the young women. Obviously, at this point, Susan is older. I'm not sure what the time difference was for her, but Will has joined the Union Army, so he is obviously, you know, obviously not 12 anymore, but, and because we know that time has traveled differently, So you get to see it from the perspective of younger women, at least. Rose is still around 12 or 13 at this point. Susan is older, but also from Rose's perspective as, you know, someone who wasn't currently living at that time. So she's gone into the past and she's seeing what she's probably only read about in books. So you've got some adventure, you've got time travel, you've got friendships, you've got all of those great things. And yeah, so that is the first of my lost books from childhood. Again, that was called The Root Cellar by Janet Lunn. And again, I'm going to have to reread it because I want to know what exactly more I can see why it would have appealed to me. It still would be something that I would pick up today and be like, that sounds interesting. But I want to reread it and see, you know, exactly how it ends because I don't remember and what I remember about it, if I do remember much about it, because really the only thing I remembered was that she went into the Root Cellar and came out in a different time. I didn't even remember before I started doing my research that she went back to the Civil War, back to the 1860s, and I didn't remember that it took place originally in Canada. So mostly I remembered Root Cellar, time travel. But that was enough. I found the book and it took me down memory lane. So we are going to take our first break of the podcast. When we come back, we'll be looking at another book, not quite time travel, but still kind of fantasy travel. I don't quite know how to describe it at this point. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Hello again, and welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. I am talking today about books from my childhood that left an impression, but that I didn't necessarily remember the name of. And another one of those books is, I indicated that it was sort of like time travel, but not like time travel, because it's not like time travel. Okay, so the book is called Goldenrod by Mary Towne, and it was first published in 1977. I was probably around the same age, 10, 11, 12, when I read this one as I was when I read the last book, The Root Cellar. And when I looked this up, I actually remembered the name of this one. I was 90% sure it was called Goldenrod. And when I looked it up, then I was able to find it. There's several other, you know, books with that title, as you can imagine. But I was able to find it. And the description that I kept finding on Amazon, on Goodreads, on a bunch of places just said, a babysitter uses her unusual talents to entertain the kids, or something along those lines. Let me see. Let me double check. Goldenrod is an unusual babysitter who uses her special means of travel to entertain her charges. So that doesn't really tell you a lot, but she does have a special means of travel. I did find a more detailed description. This is from Kirkus Review, and this says that although not in the same league as her Mary Poppins prototype, Goldenrod, a hip, frizzy-haired 20-year-old is a far cry from your average mother's helper. On afternoons, while mother is at her magazine job, Goldenrod takes the five fatherless Madder children day-tripping. They simply close their eyes, concentrate, and off they go. The only restriction on travel is alphabetical. They must stick to places that begin with the first letter of their names. And so Val, with his interest in waterworks, engineers a trip to Venice. Horse lover Laurel herds the gang off to a ranch in Laramie, Wyoming. Practical Susan, whose turn comes in December, chooses sunny St. Martin. Adventurous Heath has them scaling the Himalayas, and six-year-old Daisy insists on a jaunt to Danbury, Connecticut, to visit the father, a dreamy, distracted sculptor she's never seen. So if I am remembering right, I believe they start with Goldenrod taking them places that start with G. And then at some point they say, what if we use our names? Can we try going to places that start with the first letter of our names? And that's how they end up going on other adventures. Now, it's not that simple, of course. I mean, it is that simple, but if it was that simple, then there would be no plot, right? There'd be no plot advancement. At some point, I think, if I'm, again, remembering correctly, and I'm going to have to reread this one at some point, they try to go to a person or something that's not a place but still starts with the first letter of one of their names. So they try to not cheat the system exactly, but like figure out if they can work around that alphabetical system. And of course, you know, there's adventures and there's things that end up eventually going wrong. I'm pretty sure that this book attracted me because I always wanted to, I mean, the reason that I read as a kid was because I got to go places in my mind, and this just sounded perfect. I grew up in a small town. I hadn't really traveled much. I thought this was perfect. Just close your eyes, imagine a place. And I spent a lot of time trying to figure out where would I go that started with the letter S? Where would I go if I had Goldenrod's magical ability? And I loved to imagine these types of things as a kid. I loved to just daydream and think about things that are, you know, that are magical and far-fetched. And so this would have been my cup of tea as a kid because I just loved to imagine the impossible and to hope, pretend, wish that it was true. So I loved this book because of exactly that. It was seemingly impossible. The children and Goldenrod go on these adventures. I'd forgotten that they were living with a single mother. You know, there's a lot of parts of the book that I had forgotten until I started reading into it. So one of the places that I went as I was reading up on this book was Goodreads, and discovered that a lot of people had kind of similar experiences to mine. One of the first ratings says that her rating, which is 4 stars, and this book has 4.19 stars out of 5. 4.19 stars. There's only 21 ratings, but it's, you know, it's a book from 1977. I believe it's out of print, so it's hard to find. So probably a lot of people have read it recently, but the one reviewer that I read said that her rating is based on her memory of loving this book, and she read it in about 6th or 7th grade. And she says a little bit of the same things. You know, she sat and she remembered copying the way Goldenrod did it, crossing her legs, closing her eyes, hoping that she too could be transported. But she says the same thing. I should read it again to see if my memory is accurate. And then a lot of the comments are the same thing. You know, one of my favorite books from my preteen years. Loved this book when I was in 4th or 5th grade. Read it in junior high, etc. But then I do see that someone did want to reread it, and it's kind of hard to find. So I did find it on Amazon, hardcover, $7.77. There's 12 used. Now, the 4 new start at $96.36. So, wow. Yeah, you know, you don't want to try to buy it new unless you are looking for a collector's item. But this, I just felt like a lot of people had similar experiences to mine, remembering reading this book and the adventures that these children go on. I, again, would like to reread it to see, because I really, really don't remember much about it. Unlike The Root Cellar, where I remembered, you know, the time travel and she went to a different time, I didn't remember all of the specifics. This one, I really just remembered that the babysitter's name was Goldenrod, that she could travel to places that started with G. She babysat children. I didn't remember how many there were. I didn't remember that they had a single mother. I knew that they then started going to places that started with the children's names. That is really all I remembered. But that was, of course, enough, because as a kid, loved the fantasy, loved the imagination of going somewhere, you know, just being able to poof, transport yourself. I still would love to be able to do this. You know, I always joke that if I could apparate, I would totally do it so I could go home and visit my family. I don't think Goldenrod's talent would help me very much, because my hometown starts with a P. So I'd have to think about that to figure out, is there anything around my hometown that starts with an S? No, not off the top of my head. So I'd have to figure that one out. Maybe, let's see, my husband's name starts with a T. That would get me 26 miles from my hometown, so that's not so bad. That's better than, you know, the 1,700 miles I am away from them right now. But maybe apparating is the better option, or flu powder or something. See, magical travel is just awesome. This is what I love about children's books, when you can just do the impossible and go places and have these adventures. You know, they don't have to be realistic. They don't have to, you know, it doesn't have to be, that's why it's fantasy. It's not science fiction, because there's no science here. It's fantasy, then, that you can close your eyes and cross your legs and think of a place that starts with the letter G and go there. Just poof, magically be transported there. I loved these kinds of books as a child, just traveling someplace, having an adventure. I lived in my head a lot as a kid, so it was no wonder that I wished that this was true. I wished that I could be like these children, and if not have the ability myself, then meet someone with that ability. I did a lot of daydreaming. I did a lot of you might call it unrealistic wishing as a kid, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with a good, healthy imagination. And I don't really, there was a tiny part of me, I'm sure, that thought maybe, just maybe, wouldn't be awesome if it was real. Didn't fully think that it was possible, but, you know, just the thought, maybe it's real. So those are two books so far from, you know, my lost books of childhood. I have one more to talk about. This one is a little bit more on the science fiction end of things, where the first two I would describe as fantasy. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss, with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. Again, talking about books today that I remember from childhood, but don't necessarily remember them really well. And, you know, they pop into my head sometimes, and so I thought I would do a little research and see what I could find out about some of these books that have stuck with me, even though I didn't read them multiple times, etc. So this last book, I didn't remember a lot about it at all, except for the name, Interstellar Pig. That's a name that fits, that sticks with you. Interstellar Pig is a book by William, it's either Sleater or Slater, maybe, S-L-E-A-T-O-R. It was first published in 1984. And it is a science fiction book about a 16-year-old named Barney. I'm not sure how old I was when I read this book, but I think I maybe was a little bit too young. I was easily scared as a child. I mean, the first time I saw the movie Ghostbusters, I think I was in third grade, and it scared the snot out of me. I had nightmares about Slimer. I love that movie now. I've loved it forever. Once I got over that first initial watching, seeing it in the theater scared the snot out of me. It wasn't even that scary. So you can understand that I was kind of a sensitive child, I guess. And so I think I may have been a little bit too young to have read this book when I read it. I don't remember how old I was, but I remember it kind of creeped me out. I don't remember if it scared me, but it definitely creeped me out. And it is, it's science fiction, it's an adventure, it's also a mystery thriller, so there is some adventure. So it's about, like I said, a 16-year-old named Barney, who is spending his summer at the beach again. He's not looking forward to it. He you know, doesn't necessarily like spending his summers at the beach. But then, maybe not the whole summer, maybe just a couple weeks, but at any rate, he's not looking forward to it. But then he meets the neighbors, and they are very different, and Barney's intrigued by them. And the neighbors, there are three of them, introduce him to a board game called Interstellar Pig, hence the name of the book. And the basic objective of the game is to finish the game with the piggy card in hand. So they explain the rules to him and they start playing it. But then it comes about that it's not just a board game, it's real. And there's also another part of the plot where Barney finds out that the house that they live in, that they're renting, used to belong to a Captain Latham, and he was the one who built the house that his parents are renting, and his brother was crazy, they say, and he lived in Barney's room. So there are all these scratches and things scratched into the walls of Barney's room. Well, it turns out that these things are related, that the game is real, that now the neighbors are trying to bribe him. They're trying to do anything to get the pig. So they try to bribe him. They try to, you know, do whatever they can to win. So now Barney has entered the game, and he is representing the human race. So he has to figure out how to do this, how to win this game, to avoid blowing up the Earth. Maybe the Earth is going to be destroyed somehow. So I really need to reread this book, because I think I would love it now, even though it creeped me out as a child. I think this might have been one that my dad recommended because, again, school librarian, he also loves science fiction and fantasy, so he probably did. Either that or it was just one that I saw because, as I said, the name Interstellar Pig stuck with me. And I think as a child, I would have seen Interstellar Pig and had to have read it just for the name. What I learned in doing my reading for this podcast is that this is actually the first of two books. I did not know that. I don't know if my school library had the second one. If it did, I never read it. And now that I look again, there is a perfectly logical reason why I didn't read this in elementary school, because it wasn't published until 2002. So no wonder I didn't know that there was a second one. So as I said, the second one is called Parasite Pig. It is, again, by the same author, written in 2002. It follows the character of Barney, who has been working part-time at an after-school job in order to pay for the repairs for his house. I think there's a lot of destruction that happens at the end of Interstellar Pig, but the Earth is not destroyed. So, hey, the aliens still have plans for Barney, and now he must deal with talking parasites, giant crustaceans, and a wasp woman. So this was written much later, almost 20 years after the original book. I am intrigued because, like I said, hadn't read, you know, I want to reread the first one, didn't know there was a second one. So I am intrigued to maybe reread them both. As I said, I loved fantasy as a child, so the first two books definitely fell into my my wheelhouse. I think I mentioned when I did the episode on A Wrinkle in Time that I didn't read that series until I was an adult because the cover scared me. I mean, come on, let's just judge a book by its cover. I mean, yeah. So I didn't read that until an adult. So again, sensitive child. I think that's what I'm trying to say here. I was a sensitive child and I scared myself very easily. So I'm surprised that I did read this book. The cover must not have been scary, but my point, I do have a point. Let me slow down and get back to my point. My point is that I liked fantasy more than I liked science fiction as a kid. Science fiction tended to scare me more than fantasy, which may or may not be logical. I mean, you could make arguments either way on that one as to whether or not that's logical. But I did read Interstellar Pig. I remember liking it. I remember being intrigued by it. I know that it stuck with me. I'm having a vague memory. I think there may have been a boy in my class who said he really liked it and told me I should read it and convinced me that. So I don't think it was my dad who suggested this. I think it was a kid in my class. I don't think it was like peer pressure or anything. He just said he really liked it. And I thought, hey, I can try that. And then totally creeped myself out with it. It's probably not as, I don't think it's scary. Again, I haven't read it as an adult, but I'm going to guess that it was not as creepy as I am now making it out to be. And plus, now I really like sci-fi. So I need to go back and reread Interstellar Pig. Okay, I'll just be honest. I'm doing this segment just so I can say the phrase Interstellar Pig 150 times. Please don't make this a drinking game. I don't want you to get rather drunk in 10 minutes because I keep saying Interstellar Pig. I'm going to wrap this up. Thank you so much for joining me as I talked about books that I read as a child that I liked a lot as a child, maybe didn't love them so much that I had to have them on my bookshelf and reread them multiple times, but that stuck with me for some reason. You know, some books you read and years later you see it and you think, that looks vaguely familiar. Did I ever read that? And then there's some books that just parts of them, maybe it's the title, maybe it's a character, maybe it's a plot line of some sort that stick with you. And that was what these three books were for me. So thanks for hanging in there with me as I reminisced and went back to my childhood and tried to recreate why I read what I read. If you were to do this same episode, what books would you choose? Are there books from your childhood that you maybe you have read them as an adult, you've gone back and read them, but books that just stuck with you for some reason and you weren't 100% sure why? Maybe it was the title again, maybe it was the character. What would you add to this list, or what would you do for your three books for a podcast if you were to do an episode like this? I would love to hear. Hit me up on social media. I would love to hear those answers from you. Thank you again for joining me. I hope that you will join me on Tuesday when I have another author interview lined up. Next Tuesday, I will be speaking with author Andrea Tomey about her book, House of Belonging. It's the third book in a trilogy, and it's a romance. So I hope that you'll join me as I talk to Andrea about her third and final book in the Hesse Creek trilogy. Again, that will be on Tuesday, so join me then. In the meantime, hope you have a wonderful weekend, and I hope that you take some time to get lost in a good book. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.